have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jay Cranda. Jay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for talking with me. I'm excited because the world went crazy this week because we talked about this like 8-10 shows ago, Facebook reactions,
yep.
And it went global. And now everybody is talking about it.
It's everywhere. Or they're reacting to it. You get it?
I know. I did. So if you don't know, and if you're not on Facebook, if you haven't logged in, you might need to actually close your app and start it back up. You might need a full refresh, or you just might look like a weirdo trying to figure out how to get it to work. But now when you hover over, either on a desktop or if you hold over the like button, it will pop up with I think it's like 6 different options. So you can like it, you can heart it, you can like be shocked or laugh or be angry. And it was really interesting because this is where I love it. I think it's really cool. What I love about it is Facebook isn't just trying to just stay the same. I mean, obviously, Facebook, why they keep on dominating and they're probably always going to be there is because they're just always changing up. That's a big change. But there was a post that somebody posted. There was what's that guy from Old Spice commercials? He did a Facebook live stream. And it just popped up in my stream. And he did this whole thing. I don't know if you saw this, but he did this whole thing where he actually talked about he wanted to tell his community about a dirty little secret. And he talked about how destructive porn was and how porn for him destroyed him. And people say it's all normal. Anyways, he did this thing. It was an awesome little speech. It was a cool way to use Facebook Live. He was literally in his car. And he was just doing it. It was an amazing moment. And all the comments was great. But the interesting thing was that I noticed right away was you had like 50,000 likes or something. And I clicked on it. And there were 2 people that had fury reactions.
Wow.
So the ability to go in and see like the scope, like I was able to narrow down 50,000 people down to 2 people that were just so upset. Now, I don't know, I don't know if because they're atheists. Yes, or they were like whatever, and they were just looking at that we should be able to do whatever we want. But it just was amazing because you're going to start seeing a scope of response.
Yeah,
with the internet. There's some cool stuff that I think is going to happen.
The main function or reason that I've heard for this is that there are things that people say, and you don't want to say I like that. Like people want to share news, like my grandmother passed away, and you want to say I'm sad about that. Like I sympathize with you. In this moment. And so there's a positive to the negatives in some ways, or somebody complains about something and is like, yeah, that makes me angry too. You know, when this wrong is happening, in life. And so I think there's some times where these are going to have value, but I think there's going to be a dark side to it too, where you're going to post something and you're going to see somebody get angry about it and you're going to be offended. And it's a whole new way that people are interacting. And I think it's gonna take some adjustment. It's getting used to seeing that realm of emotions, but that's a reality of our face-to-face lives. When we communicate things, some people love it, some people like it, some people hate it. And so we're gonna be able to see those emotions in a more visual way through Facebook. So it's gonna be fun to see and interesting. I think people blow off change sometimes and like, this is stupid. And then you kind of realize down the road, oh, it just becomes a part of how we communicate, and almost hard to, it will be hard to believe when all we used to have was a like button, and it was so like basic to just being a like button. So,
And it's smart because there's been a lot of things that have popped up in the last year and a half that have become a little bit more, I would say the like button was so two-dimensional. And with like even Periscope with a lot of the harding that happened, you had a little bit more of a dimension, a little bit more of a feel. Even the fact that when you hover over it, it kind of like pops up and right. they kind of bounce. You know what I mean? It's more of a, you can tell the platform is evolving. It's kind of the same thing we've talked about this, that like, you know, the first iPhone designs internally were very, you know, they replicated. So it was a matted board. And then, you know, towards now we have this design where it's just what it is. You kind of have to help the transition. Facebook now, I think I'm excited to see more of a visual, more interactive, you know, the device, the, when Facebook first came out, our phones weren't as powerful as they are now. So it can do more. So I love it. I'm excited. I think there should be more. I hate Facebook's emoticons like inside the app. I never use them. Yes,
the stickers you're talking about.
Yeah, the stickers and, you know. So like this is the first type of change. I was like, okay, I like these five or six things. I think this is good. The other ones, they look kind of like Japanese anime, and I don't even know what's going on. So
it's interesting. You know, it's fun to see it develop. Speaking of development in the church space, we have new developments happening with our friends at the Church Online platform. Two big updates that I've noticed. One is they did the big mobile update. So they've got a really cool mobile interface. It's really optimal for Android users. And I don't know why you would optimize anything for Android users. They chose to, because on Android, you can play the video without going full screen. On iPhone, you know, mobile, it really does look awesome. But unfortunately, you have to go to video full screen still on the iPhone. So I will admit that the iPhone is lagging behind in that way. But a really great mobile platform and interface they've created. And the other that you were talking about is the alerts. And so now people can sign up to get alerts via email and text message through the platform. And so really cool the way they set that up. Anything else you noticed with that alert update?
Yeah, I love it. I was actually just at I was sharing with some church planners in Orange County. A friend had invited me to something. And I was telling them that, like, first off, you know, you should be thinking about online but I was talking to them about the Church Online platform and how it's a free platform. Life Church and everybody who's part of that, you know, giveaway, they've developed something that's powerful. And I think if you're listening and you're on the edge and you're not sure if you should launch and, or maybe you create an account and you never actually set it up, you need to get on top because they've dived a lot deeper, even in the last 12 months, into making it more robust. Plus, it's free. So, come on. It's free. And so, that's what I was telling these guys who's launching a church. Like, if you're launching a church in Phoenix or, you know, Chicago or Florida or whatever, you literally can just create this platform, record a video on your iPhone, and you can, like, have like, a whole church online venue without even doing anything, you know? And so, I love it. I love the idea that the idea that you can invite people to specific services and so you can set up reminders. Yeah. I think that is an amazing, you know, those are things, you know, at Supplyback, we have a custom built thing. We don't use the Church Online or it's commonly called CHOP. That's something that I want. And so it's just crazy that we were just in a kind of a dream conversation yesterday talking about our new redesign that we're working on. And, you know, it's like, man, they just roll it out. And so I think it's awesome. I love what they're doing. I obviously Life Church is amazing. So we love them.
We all love Life Church. I love that they, you know, they had good technology and they give it away for free, but they continue to make it better. And great technology is always developing. It's always moving forward. It's always progressing. It is never stagnant because, you know, if you're stagnant for 6 months of technology, you're out of date. And so we're learning that through TV app is really how fast these technologies are growing and the constant developments that are needed, even from when we had an idea. You know, we're not launched publicly yet, and we're already having to make adjustments to the technology because technology is changing. Let's, though, before we get into TV app, so we've got some exciting updates about TV app and where we've come. You know, we're going to kind of retell the story a little bit in this episode. But one other last update or just kind of conversation point is Kevin Spacey continues to really kind of change the world in many ways in media distribution. I mean, the House of Cards, I love, it's March 2nd is when the new season comes out. But he, you know, even when the show came to him, you know, it was kind of thrown off of like, so this is just an online show. It's not real TV. And House of Cards has just changed the way TV happens. You know, releasing seasons all at one time. We're going to watch Fuller House all weekend this weekend, I think. So pumped about it. But so anyways, now he's changing the game, and now in like the online course space, right? With the master's course, what do we know about that, and what is he doing?
Yeah, it was just so interesting that, you know, we've talked about this a couple ways. That this idea of on-demand training.
Yeah.
And really how, you know, it's been happening slowly and obviously in more robust ways. There's Treehouse and there's so much happening in this space. But I just thought it was crazy. I was sitting in bed. My wife and I were watching. This isn't going to get crazy. I'm going to be straightforward. Mm-hmm. And we were watching The Tonight Show. So we were watching The Tonight Show. Kevin Spacey comes on. And Kevin Spacey's talking about this master training class. And the idea is that you can get trained on how to act by Kevin Spacey online. And he was talking about it. And the master training, they've done a bunch of different, you know, areas. But I thought it was crazy that, you know, we've kind of had these conversations offline that because the world is so more and more connected, no longer do you have to get trained by, you know, the guy down the street. You can just go to anybody. And think about this. You're going to have people that are going to grow up getting trained by Kevin Spacey on how to act.
Yeah.
And whoever it is, like you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, if you could take a class from him, talk about, like, first off, it puts the community colleges out of business, it feels like, in some way. But it's the same thing with teaching. You know, there's more and more teachers online, you know, pastors and so forth that are communicating, some of the best in the world. Now, something that the church will... the church can do very well is no matter what, you can't replace the physical community down the street. So you might have the best teachers online, but you're going to have community in some powerful ways. And so regardless, it doesn't change the church in the sense of where they're located and what they're doing. But I think it should be a wake up call more and more. And we've been talking about this, that you should be thinking about ways to do on-demand training because people are so busy and consumed. And, you know, to have another event is not necessarily strategic. Why wouldn't you put that on a podcast where they can listen on the way to work, or put it on an Apple TV and so that they can in their home watch it? You know, this is, you know, our boy Scott at Trained Up, you know, the stuff that he's doing. You know, those are things that can help you in your church, not only train, but also connect, because I think, and this, it kind of leads into the TV stuff. We want the living room to be an extra room for your church to leverage at any moment.
Yep.
You know, that's at the end of the day. And I just thought it was crazy that Kevin Spacey was talking about it. It's Kevin Spacey on The Tonight Show. And they're talking about this on-demand training class. And you're like, okay, you know, Kevin Spacey was, I think he was like classically trained or whatever, because he's like a showman and that's what he does. But it's like, he's helping that transition. And no, probably him, he probably still believes that you need to go and so forth. But at the same time, it just, you know, there's probably people that will take that never thought that they could get into a class and or even enjoy, and that might be a starter. So I thought it was cool. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, that we live in, you know, this such unique moment in history where you could do college online. You can, you know, instead of going to an acting class and having to travel to LA and be there for 2 weeks, you can take it online, you know. And the truth is that even, I think you and I both know that Kevin Spacey, if you could get face-to-face time with him, is going to be more valuable than what you're going to get out of that course. Yet 99% of the people taking that course could never get face-to-face time with him, but they are going to get that interaction with him. And so I think when it comes to churches and discipleship and looking at these on-demand training platforms like Trained Up or Kajabi is what you and I use for Social Media Church University, is there some great technology out there that are so simple and easy to use. And I would put Facebook Live right into that. You know, you can do a live training through Facebook Live right now, and then it's on demand right after that. I mean, there are so many possibilities for us to simply use the technologies that exist today to be able to further people spiritually and speak into their lives. And so whether that's training, you know, leadership training, or whether that's just leading an online Bible study or just sharing an inspirational thought or moment that you're having, these online tools, it's so fun to be a part of this time in history. And so anyways, speaking of time in history and so fun to be a part of, you and I do feel like we made history yesterday for us. And we released our first two TV app churches. This has been a journey to get to yesterday. and we're just getting started. So let's talk about that a little bit. And let's talk about what happened yesterday, and then let's reverse engineer how we got to where we got yesterday.
Yeah. First off, we have an amazing team. It's four of us that have come together. We have a powerhouse developer, and then we have a powerhouse designer. And then you and I'm still trying to figure out what we do.
we meet with them.
The crazy thing is, going from start to end, one big thing that we wanted from the beginning is, first off, it costs a lot of money to get on these platforms.
Yeah.
And there are people that offer the platforms for free, but it's not great. And so we're like, can we have a happy medium where it's a great platform that you can control? And what we've done on, I'm including myself, all four of us, is that we've made this platform that you literally can change it on your computer, the menus and everything, and you can watch it change real time. We're doing this yesterday, and we're having a little bit
on my TV.
On your TV, changed it. And so,
I didn't change it. Ed in San Antonio changed it. I was watching on Zoom, and instantly my TV in Brooklyn changed because of the TV made in San Antonio.
And for those who are listening, you might not understand the importance of that, but the idea that if you want to change your menu or a graphic on the menu in any way, let's say for a weekend series, you want every week to change the background graphic. You can do that. You can just go in and you can change stuff out. You can change menus. You can add things. And the reason why that's such a value is, I've done this where I want something changed on my Roku because we work with a larger development company. Well, I have to go through people and I have to wait for responses, and that has to happen. And it might cost me $200 an hour to get that there. The idea, churches have to be fast, fluid, and flexible. And the idea that, hey, if you want, you can just log in and you can change it, and it's pretty seamless. And so it was so much fun. So the couple of things was the fact that we went through the App Store once and we got approved. We thought maybe, they might want something adjusted or changed.
Yeah,
that didn't happen. And so that was a huge win. And then just coming from there. And so anyways, I'm so pumped. And I just keep on talking because it was just so awesome. It was a great day.
Yeah. So we're grateful for Westside Family Church and Northview Church, who are willing to kind of be our first two beta churches. We've got 85 churches on our waiting list, to get an app. And so we're excited that a lot of churches are excited about the same things we are. So you and maybe it was 4 months ago, that you and I were at a Starbucks in Southern California. We were both kind of talking about this, like, man, Apple TV is going to be ridiculous. Like, this is going to change everything. Where can we get, we knew our churches were going to get on there somehow, but we knew that the technology was going to be expensive and complicated and not available really for other churches, at a scalable level. And we're like, is there someone we could partner with to make this happen? And it really felt like we've kind of tried that a little bit. I told you about my friend Ed, and we just started having conversations and heading down this path to creating a product, but it got so complicated so fast. Yeah. So as we started to head down this path of, we're going to create a TV app for lots of churches, we wanted to be affordable and wanted to be powerful and flexible. And those aren't easy things. That's a high task we put on Ed. And then we pulled Chris Tripudi in as well, because we need it to be beautiful too. It can't just be powerful on the back end and then look crummy on the front end. It needs to be beautiful as well. And so we kind of went down this path, but we realized, one, how complicated the technology is. And I still, I'm understanding it, but I still don't have a clue of all the moving parts, all the code required to pull. I thought, can't you just do a web link and set up a WordPress theme and just push it to Apple TV? It's not like that. This is applicant of a new development code language, essentially, TVML, you have to develop for. But we're not just set on it being Apple TV. We want it to be available to Roku and Amazon and, Xbox and all these other platforms as well. And so to create a platform that's scalable, that's flexible, there's just so much to it. I want to hear your perspective as well. But then we want to make sure that we've got sustainability here. So we have to build a functional business. We have to have a way of, how do we make it affordable and how do we make sure that our developer gets paid and our designers get paid, and that, you know, these people, you know, that that we can make sure that we're supporting these apps for years to come and pushing the innovation, because once it's built, it's only we've only started. Because we have to continue to update it to be on the front end of technology. So we've had to build a business simultaneously that it's been so complicated. We've moved so fast. And I think we've gotten so many great confirmations of that God is, you know, really working here and allowing us to be a part of this kind of moment in history with new technology and to serve the church in this unique way. And then yesterday we saw those first two apps in the App Store, and it was so cool to see now that these churches are empowered and we're that much closer to helping hundreds more churches use this technology. So that's been my journey along the way, kind of fill in the gaps that I left between there.
Yeah. I think a big part of this was us trying to, some of the conversations we had about first off, something that's super interesting is this idea that we had most of our conversations about equity of who owns percentages of the company to pricing. Majority of everything we did happened on Slack. Yeah. Like I kept on thinking about that. Like as this thing grows, like a lot of our origin stuff was on Slack. Us just talking as a group about this. And you just think about the technology that like the phase that we're in and starting this. So we started late 2015, and you're kind of like, wow, like this, all these conversations are happening on unique platforms for this time, like stuff that would never happen. In just pricing, you know, I think that was a big heart. And if you hear on previous episodes, that was our big heart, that, you know, cost us $12,000 to get on Roku, and we're getting quotes for $35,000 to get on Apple TV from other people. We're like, churches can't afford that. And then you're paying a couple of $100 a month just in development. And, you know, we're like, well, what if we can lower the price of entry and lower the price of the monthly? We could do some really cool stuff. Now, the assumption is we're lowering it so that we need 100 churches to really take this to the next level. And so that's our idea, is that make it a lot cheaper. You know, we're not trying to be McDonald's cheap, but we're trying to get into a cost of entry that we can do a lot more. We're talking about some stuff that we can't even talk about yet, about, you know, like some technology integration that all these churches will be able to use this tech. And we're like, oh man, we can do this. And so I think that's the kind of stuff that I get super psyched, because ultimately at the end of the day, we want to build something that we can use and we want. And so it's really cool. I thank you, Westside family and Northview, for being flexible. There's a couple of people that had signed up that, you know, we're going to have some more apps in the store here next week. And so we're just growing and learning, and it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, and this is what you and I get so excited about, is where we're going. You know, I mean, we worked so hard to get here, but this is, and I think what we did as we built this is powerful, is what we started with. This platform is so powerful. There's seemingly no level, it can scale to whatever level we want to, infrastructure wise, as well as scale to various platforms. And so we're starting with Apple TV, but even within Apple TV, let's talk about, you know, the other platforms and maybe some of the other functions that we'll soon be moving into. And we've got a roadmap already, you know, for a ways down the road, but there's some immediate things. You want to speak to a few of those?
Yeah. So, I mean, we treat this very much as a membership price. It's a one-time entry, and then there's a monthly cost. And so for all of our beta users get a discount on that entry fee, because you know, we're going to them, and like Westside Family and Orphea, we said, can we just submit your app and then you can adjust it later, because we want to see the review process. So even what's up there now, they're not announcing it publicly to their church. And so they're learning. And so we have Apple TV right now. And then we're going to go into some Google Analytics, so you're going to be able to range date on Google Analytics. You're going to be able to go into all your apps. Yep. Right now, it will only be Apple TV. But then in 2 months, maybe less, and those are the things that we got to figure out with priorities, we're gonna go straight to Roku. So your church, one-time entry fee, I don't care if you pay $3,000 or $5,000, whatever it is, the entry fee, it's a membership. So you get Apple TV and then whatever we release afterwards. So in priorities, we have Apple TV up front, then some Google Analytics data, Roku, and then we're gonna go to Amazon Fire TV, that, you know, maybe And so part of it is that we're going to have conversations with our churches. Like we might know what we want, but we will send out a survey and we might call it, by the way, would you rather be on Amazon Fire TV or Xbox?
Yeah.
You know, like we can prioritize that. And so, you know, would you rather, you know, have a 360 video option, or would you rather have that? You know, those are the type of things we're going to have, but we want to first dominate on the TV app space, because that's what we're doing. So we'll get an Apple TV, those things. And then we want to experiment out on some of these other platforms. Gaming platforms are on our radar. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so as you mentioned earlier, we developed a community between the four of us on Slack that helped us get here. You know, so you're in Orange County, I'm in Brooklyn, our developers in San Antonio, our designers in Fort Worth, and we've been able to work together cohesively, you know, virtually through Slack primarily, and then through Zoom quite a bit. We'll probably do the exact same thing with all of our churches that are part of us. We're opening up a Slack channel for all of the churches to be a part of and interact, not just with us, but with each other to learn best practices on how to use these technologies together, but also to interact with us. We'll probably do a lot of Zoom calls as well with clients. And so we love the interactions that are happening and the relationships that are being formed, and excited about the relationships that are going to be formed as we really feel like we're building a community here, and we're excited to serve that community.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. And again, there's some exciting stuff that we're gonna be doing. So if you're interested, you can go ahead and go to tvapp.church. You can actually email me if you want at j@tvapp.church, and I'll be able to show you a little bit more. But thanks for everybody that has been helped. I just saw Alec just popped in, one of our churches just popped in, and is messaging. Yeah, he's excited for the Slack. I love it. So. Okay, so what I would love for everybody here to do is that if you're listening to the show, something that we ask periodically is that, can you review our podcast on iTunes? That's something that's super helpful in ranking. Also, we are on Stitcher and SoundCloud. So for all those Android users that don't have iTunes, you can go to SoundCloud or Stitcher and you can listen to our show. For any other questions and or suggestions, use the hashtag SMC Podcast, and make sure you check out our Snapchat course on social media, church.com. So I know social media dot church. I don't know. My brain is, I need to finish the rest of my coffee here. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.